Hi, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about how project management company Atkins Realis is moving the needle when it comes to ESG, DE&I, and more. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is the Ethicast. Founded in 1911, Atkins Realis is a global, fully integrated professional services and project management company that supports various sectors, including buildings and places, defense, industrial, minerals and metals, nuclear, power and renewables, transportation, and more. Atkins Realis' exemplary ethics and compliance program embeds integrity across the organization. The company has made significant investments in compliance and ESG and implemented major initiatives, from building a culture that requires managers to frequently communicate with their teams on ethics and compliance, to robust third-party risk management procedures. For these things and more, Atkins Realis received Ethisphere's Compliance Leader Verification in May 2023, and just recently, it became the first engineering company in the UK to achieve the Clear Assured Platinum Standard for its progress and impact with DE&I initiatives. With us today to talk about this further is Henty Dirker, Chief ESG and Integrity Officer for Atkins Realis. Henty, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Your ethics and compliance program has reached a high level of excellence and maturity, but we all know that doesn't just happen overnight. So can you describe for us the long-term strategic plan for your program, how you've realized it over the last 12 to 24 months, and perhaps most importantly, where you see it going in the future?
Sure, Bill. And I think as you alluded to into the introduction, I think, you know, the audience needs to understand the breadth of our global operations. Having 37,000 employees that speak, you know, over 70 languages and representing 130 nationalities across six continents. We work across quite a diverse set of markets as well, from buildings and places to defense, industrial, minerals and metals, power and renewables, transportation, water, and very interestingly, nuclear, which is a complete sector with a different way of doing things on its own. And then throughout those markets, we work from a consulting perspective to engineering and design, through project and program management, and then delivering that through to actually operating and maintaining our assets up to sometimes 30 years. And we also have a capital group that invests in our projects. And then finally, we actually support decommissioning of assets as well. So really a very diverse type of workforce that we have out there, different business models, so different ways of how people think. And because of that diversity, from an integrity perspective and a compliance program, we've always had to think about different ways of how we communicate and create awareness around the compliance program. I would say our long-term strategic plan has always been about ensuring that our integrity program is there to support employees in their day-to-day workings and to make sure that it's pragmatic and as much as possible integrated. I come from a business background. I was in sales and marketing, and people on the ground are really busy. So in order to, you know, to make things easy and to get that buy-in from them, you have to really make sure that you always integrate your systems as much as possible into things that they would already be doing or interacting with from a day-to-day basis, and to really to avoid unnecessary bureaucracy. Due diligence, of course, really important. It's part of our vendor management system. And I think we've appreciated from a strategic perspective that due diligence is no more, you know, just due diligence around bribery and corruption. But there's a lot more things that nowadays you have to take into consideration that could pose reputational and, of course, regulatory risk as well. Things like human rights, trade sanctions. There's a lot of geopolitical risk at the moment globally, and not least environmental type of risks as well. Making training fun, I think, is a core aspect of our program, and we've been playing around with making our trainings have its own storyline that you can choose your adventure, almost so to speak. We've actually won a Brandon Hall gold for that training modules, and we do everything in-house. And what we always also try to do to make sure that it's relevant for employees is to make sure that the examples that we use in our annual code of conduct is actually based on real life examples that we see throughout the preceding year. Where are we going? I would say, you know, in the same way, from a project and company perspective, where we try to integrate cutting edge digital solutions and to increase predictability for our clients, we try to do the same from an integrity program perspective. We're trying to make sure that we use a data rich environment to help us make easier decisions and to look for anomalies and those types of things. And I've always been, you know, of the mind that programs needs to be built in to systems and not bolted on. Because again, as I said earlier, you need to make it as easy as possible for the employees to handle. Where do I see it going in future? Apart from that aspect is really making time to get involved in collective action and outreach activities from a company perspective. Global companies such as ourselves work across, as I said, you know, six continents. Yeah. We touch a lot of different people and other companies, and you know, we get involved with things. And I would really do a call to action for other global companies that have that footbridge to really look at how can you get involved and level the playing field. Examples, the Basel Institute of Collective Action has got a rich knowledge hub of collective action activities globally. You know, the B20 that feeds into the G20 typically has an integrity and compliance task force. You know, get involved to something like that. The OECD for companies that find themselves in the OECD countries have a global initiative as well that look at galvanizing the private sector and combating corruption. And we involved there with a concept called Compliance Without Borders. And then from a World Economic Forum perspective, they've also got an initiative called the Partnering Against Corruption Initiative. So there's a whole host of things out there that I think as companies, as global companies, we can make a difference. And I would really love to see more of my peers and others be involved with these initiatives.
How would you say that ESG informs and advances the larger culture and strategic objectives of your organization?
That's almost the easiest question to answer because ESG is at the core of our purpose. We've got a really fun purpose. It's engineering a better future for our planet and its people. So that encompasses really sustainability. And in our messaging within the company, we've really replaced the concept of ESG with that of sustainability. So what do we need to do? What do I need to do as an employee to make sure that the company is around for another 100 years? And what do I need to focus on, either internally or externally, that will allow us to have that more sustainable future? And that's really important. So as part of a ESG reporting and looking at sustainability, there's a concept called materiality assessment, which kind of helps you identify those impactful areas. And one of them, you know, is our DE&I initiatives at the company, which you saw now from a UK perspective, we got awarded an award for that. Other things is our business impact or our project impacts on from a sustainability perspective. So really being able to talk about that. Another good point from an ESG perspective is an engaged employee holds for a healthy company culture. And employee engagement is one of those material areas for us as well, because our business is all about people. So having engaged employees, doing regular employee engagement surveys, and of course we do the regular Ethisphere integrity survey, pulse surveys as well, it really gives us a good idea of areas of improvement. And then, you know, working on those, making sure that our employees become more engaged within the company. And as it comes to best in class, from an employee engagement perspective and also from an Ethisphere culture survey perspective, we have found that we have outscored our peers on both sides, which means we are doing something right.
Ethics doesn't just happen. You need to put in the time. So make sure to register for the 15th Annual Global Ethics Summit, a live and virtual event in Atlanta, Georgia, from April 22nd through the 24th. Save $200 by using the code ETHICAST at registration. To learn more, visit attendges.com. Your job title of Chief ESG and Integrity Officer it's a really compelling title. I love it. And if I may say, it's a rather forward-looking description of your roles and responsibilities. I was wondering if you could talk about why this is your title and not simply Head of Ethics and Compliance. And How does that outlook shed some light on how AtkinsRéalis, you know, views ESG and business integrity as a whole?
It's all about doing the right thing. And integrity is all about doing the right thing. So I'm chief integrity officer. I'm also chief ESG officer. And the rationale behind that is really because as a company, we've identified the need to be authentic and transparent in everything that we do and everything that we report, both internally and externally. And the thinking from a board and from an executive management position was really, we've done a lot of work from an integrity program perspective, establishing that, having robust controls in place. And what we're really trying to do is take what we've done from an integrity perspective and copy that onto from an ESG perspective to make sure that we also have the same type of robust internal controls in the background. Because when you talk about sustainability and the impact that you have as a company, you have to make sure that what you say is true and it's factual and it's auditable. And as you know, there's a lot of new reporting frameworks that's coming out. There's one in Europe. There's one, you know, international from an ISSB perspective that we'll soon see here in Canada as well. So all companies, I think, have to start making that those additional steps in making sure that it's not just, you know, a marketing exercise and talking about what you're doing from a sustainability perspective, but that it's really rooted from a foundational perspective into areas that you as a company can have a material impact on, and that it is transparent and auditable. So, you know, putting those two themes under one area of responsibility, I think, as you said, has been very forward looking from a board perspective. And as we go forward, you know, we'll continue to apply the learnings that we've had, even just, you know, getting buy-in and working with employees across different regions, across all the different metrics in the same way that we've done from an integrity perspective.
Do you have a particular story or anecdote that you could share that showcases how the initiatives that you've been pursuing within your own ethics compliance program have you know, manifested themselves in the day-to-day real-life operations of your company?
I sure do, and I tell the story, you know, on all the panels and presentations that I do outside, because I think it's really, really valuable and something that we have been able to achieve through yourself from an Ethisphere perspective. So I'm not just saying it because I'm doing an interview with you. As you know, as you said, we obtained our Ethisphere compliance leader verification for a third time in a row. And, you know, from an ethical culture assessment perspective, we 4.7 points or something, you know, above external benchmarking. So we're outperforming our peers on all the different pillars. And the example that I always use that has been really helpful for us as a company over the past 5-6 years that we've used and even implemented from an AIP perspective is looking at the linkage between how easy it is for employees to talk to their managers around ethical dilemmas, how easy it is for employees to feel as if the rules are fairly applied, or that, you know, that their expectations have been properly communicated. And you get that by having managers talk regularly about ethics and compliance dilemmas or issues or topics. And a couple of years ago, it was actually part of our AIP or bonus incentive program that managers, you know, should be talking more about this. And we saw over a span of 2 to 3 years a remarkable improvement in employees feeling more psychologically safe in order to speak up about things that they see. So really, really important for us findings out of the ethical culture assessment that we have been using, and we will continue using a metric like that, because it is important from an employee perspective to have that safe environment. And if you see your managers having had difficulty in the past about ethical dilemmas, or you know, we really focus on our managers to make it personal. So make a personal kind of story about something that they have experienced, and that's got a lot of power towards your employee base and makes them then more open to come back to you as a manager and talk about things that they see going on externally.
Could you identify one key cultural value, I would say, that you find that is kind of a universal amongst all of the people at AtkinsRéalis that helps to sort of pin together all the wonderful things you're doing when it comes to ethics compliance, diversity, and business integrity?
I think that's an easy one. It's about doing the right thing. And doing the right thing crosses all regions and continents and cultures. And not just doing the right thing internally as it relates to things that we do in the office, but you know, as a 37,000 strong employee base, doing a lot of engineering design and consulting work towards clients, really having that culture of wanting to give the best type of solution to our clients, but doing it in a right way. And one of the material areas that we felt that we can have an impact on is actually educating our clients. So when we are, you know, engaging in bids or giving consulting work to our clients, if you know, we try to actually educate them then even further on, you can have that option, but if you look at this option, it might cost you a little bit more, but from an ongoing sustainability perspective, or reaching your net zero targets, or you know, reaching your goals, we can support you with that. I think that that's very important for us. So educating, doing the right thing globally is the best, you know, kind of answer that I would have, I think, for that question.
Well, Henti, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing with us some of the details about your program at Atkins Realis. And once again, congratulations on your much deserved recognition.
Thank you very much, Bill. I really appreciate having been on air with you and being able to share some of my thoughts.
To learn more about the great work that Henti and his colleagues are doing, please visit AtkinsRealis.com. And to learn more about Ethisphere's Compliance Leader Verification Program, please visit Ethisphere.com/solutions. While you're there, be sure to download a free copy of our ebook, The 8 Pillars of an Ethical Culture, from the Ethisphere Resource Center at Ethisphere.com/resources. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe either on YouTube or on our podcasting platforms at Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon Music. Thank you so much for joining us today. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.